Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Happy New Year, everybody. DC Sports Live. Travis Thomas, Rob Carlin, DC Sports Live legend. I mean, royalty status. Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year to you, too. Maryland starts the year off with a big dub.
Reppin'.
1-0 with a win over a top 25 team in 2019. It's going to be a good year.
What? This is the first win over a ranked team
in a long time.
In a while?
3 years.
Wow.
Which is
It's hard to believe.
Stunning.
That is stunning.
I know. But we're not looking backwards.
No, I'm with you.
We got the dub tonight.
That was a good win. It was a scrappy win.
You beat Nebraska?
Yeah.
You have done something in college basketball.
When I think college basketball powerhouses, I think UCLA, I think North Carolina, Villanova, Duke, Kansas, and Nebraska.
Beat them.
Then like Gonzaga.
Beat them.
Some of those others.
So Stitch,
nice job.
Kid from Baltimore.
From where?
Baltimore, hon.
That's when you know. That's when you know you're 4-4-3 or 4-1-0 right there. Balmer. Hey, do you believe in, like, New Year's resolutions and all that? Do you have any of that stuff?
Not really.
Yeah.
I just continue making the same mistakes through my entire lifetime. Don't really learn from anything, so.
What better transition to get into 3-2-1 than that? So let's do it. Rob, we'll start with the Wizards, of course. Here's the deal. Otto Porter made his return in the Wizards' 114-98 win over the Hawks. That's two in a row now, Rob, if you're counting. I am. Otto finished with 9 points in just 14 minutes. But a win is a win, and he contributed, right? And it's good to see him back out there. Now, check this out. Our producer, Gary Skip Carter, put this full screen together. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. When he explained it to me, it seemed a little confusing. But when he broke it down to a full screen, I understood. Teams in the playoffs on the first of the year who actually made the playoffs in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. Rob, the numbers are staggering. I mean, you can see pretty consistently it's just one or two teams that don't make it from the start of the year, if you will. So the question to you is this. Finish the sentence for me, Rob. Without John Wall, the Wizards make the playoffs if...
They are just slightly better than average. Like, they don't need to be very good. There's a question, should they make the playoffs or potentially not? But if you do want to make the playoffs, and I think this team should want to make the playoffs.
Of course.
Because when this core is playing well, they can play with the better teams. But they just have to be slightly better than average. There are five good teams in the East right now, right? Milwaukee, Toronto, Indiana, Boston, Philly. Yep. Those are five good teams above 500. Yep. Right now, those are the only teams in the East above 500. Right now.
Right.
And if you think Charlotte, Miami, Detroit, Brooklyn, Orlando, these are average basketball teams. They could be three teams under 500 that make the playoffs in the East.
Oh.
So you literally, now I understand 11th right now, they've already dug themselves a hole, but if they could just be slightly better than average, they've been lower than average throughout the season. They've been worse than average.
Yes.
If you can just get to a point where you're slightly better than average, that's going to take ripping off a couple of wins. You don't have to be a very good team. You just can't be a bad team. They've been a bad team so far.
Yeah, well, props to Skip Carter for coming up with that full screen.
Now, that full screen is shocking to me.
It is.
I would not have predicted that.
But what we see from that is, pretty consistently, as I said, one or two teams don't make it that are in position. And to your point, I mean, look, the Wizards have a shot, right? So, to me, to complete the sentence, it's Scott Brooks and Bradley Beal work in unison. Here's what I mean by that. I want to preface my comments by saying I'm a huge John Wall fan. You know that. I think he's one of the best two-way guards in the league. However, I think now the style of basketball in which the Wizards will play is more conducive to what Scott Brooks wants, maybe what every coach wants. You want to see ball movement. You want to see guys shoot rock. You want to see a rhythm to an offense specifically, right? And so for me, when I look at what Scott Brooks wants and really the best environment for Bradley Beal to thrive. He's a rhythm guy. He's a offensive flow kind of guy. He's not a ball-centric guard like a John Wall is. I actually think the Wizards can sort of play to what Scott Brooks is looking for. So to me, I think as long as those two are on the same page, I think everyone else will fall in line. A guy like Thomas Bryant is perfect for this team with that sort of youthful exuberance and energy that he brings. He hustles, he runs the floor. I love it. It to me feels like this team's going to go on a run pre-All-Star game, have the All-Star break, and then pick up right where they left off. I believe they will make the playoffs. And you know what? With no expectations on this team for once, this could be the year they win a series, Rob. I mean, depending on matchups, right? But this could be the year that they win a series because no one's expecting
it. It's hard to believe that they'll do all that without John Wall. I get your size isn't better. But look, they beat the – I'm just looking at my phone here. They beat the Hornets by four. They beat the Hawks tonight. It's a bad Hawks team, right?
Yes.
So now up, they're at the Heat, which becomes a pretty big game if you're going to be teams jockeying. Then after that, at the Thunder, at the Sixers, home for the Sixers, home for the Bucks, home for the Raptors.
Oof.
Knicks game, then Pistons, an important game, then Warriors, Magic, Spurs.
And Knicks is in London.
I mean, and that is – I mean, you're looking at a stretch of games here. If you're looking for a sort of make or break here – they are teetering, right? They have a little good feeling right now. They get Otto back. I don't know what the situation is with Keefe right now. But that Heat game becomes huge, and then it is just a murderer's row at OKC, at Sixers, home for Sixers, Bucks, Raptors. That is a stretch.
Last word on this. If they just split, I mean, if they go 500 in those and beat
teams
you're supposed to, they'll be fine. That's the issue with this team. All right, let's go to number two. We'll go from basketball to baseball. How's that? Bryce Harper is still meeting with select teams, Rob. I mean, look, these teams are interested in his services, but I'm beginning to wonder if anyone's going to pony up what he's asking for, right? You've heard of the night before Christmas, right? But allegedly, the Saturday before Christmas, the Nats met with Bryce for 5 hours. 5 hours, Rob. We negotiated. I'm not sitting in a room for 5 hours negotiating. It's just not happening, but whatever. Does this five-hour meeting change your opinion now? Do you think there's a shot Bryce comes back?
You were never negotiating a $300 or $400 million deal.
Good point.
There's a lot of negotiations. This is like a little five-hour energy boost, though, for Nats fans. Because all of a sudden you think, if they're willing to sit in a room for 5 hours, and we know that the money, there's not going to be like this arms race. There's not 8 teams involved in this.
Right.
There's like 2 or 3 teams. Reportedly, it's the Nats, the Phillies, and the White Sox. That's it. So the decisions become much, much easier for Bryce. If they're willing to sit in a room with the learners for that long and try and hash things out, that does make me think perhaps he's more open to it. And if they somehow pull this off, Mike Rizzo is going to deserve so much credit for all of this because he's able to keep this team together, keep adding parts, and still bring Bryce?
At the price they want.
I did not think this was going to happen. Now, we heard the reports that they offered him 10 years, $300 million right out of the chute.
Yep.
So either his number's coming way down or the Nats are willing to go. But either way, if you asked me pre this five-hour meeting, no chance he's going
back. I was convinced he was gone. I was okay with it. I had already moved on emotionally from the scarring, okay? However, I think it's the latter of what you said. I do not believe the Nationals are going to acquiesce to him at all. In fact, I don't think they're going to budge. In fact, I think what's happening here, Rob, and I'm just speculating, I don't have any insider information. This is just a gut feeling. I don't think he's getting what he thought he was going to get.
Oh, no
never,
chance.
Never forget this. Remember the whole Kirk Cousins saga with the Redskins, right? Franchise, whatever. Technically, they said, look, we offered him a fair deal. He didn't want it. He wanted to hit the open market. We all understood why. He made the right move. The Vikings gave him what he wanted. How's that working out for you, right? But they gave what he wanted. This feels to me like Bryce went out there, fielded the offers. Boris is the man, right? And I don't think he's getting what he thought. And I think this some of this is, all right, not so much tail tucked between your leg because he's still going to make $300 million at the minimum, right? But I do think as he's looking at it, maybe it's a little bit more than what the Nats are offering, but maybe he's thinking, I don't know if it's worth it to leave for just a little bit more. 400 million, he'll play on Mars. Who wouldn't, right? But maybe that's nice. And so you're right. I mean, look, if Rizzo can pull this off, my God. But here's the other thing, the flip side. I maybe haven't negotiated for 300 mil, but I know a little bit something about this. He could be using the Nat to drive the price up, too.
Maybe.
That's negotiating 101 is creating leverage.
But then you have to also decide, do I want to go to the White Sox? Remember when A-Rod went to the Rangers? It was just a bad mistake. He followed the money. It was a mistake by the team. It was a mistake by the player. You go to the White Sox, that has all the makings of a huge mistake.
No question.
Mistake that both sides are going to run out of way before that ever grows into anything. So now you start thinking, is it between the Phillies and the Nets? And if I'm looking at this, and again, you offer me $400 million, I will ring that bell in Philadelphia.
Wherever.
I am all about the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. But if it becomes a little bit of money and a chance to be a legend, well, then you stay here at the Nats. They have proven they know how to build a winner, and it's familiar. You understand it. Then it becomes the Nats are back in the game. The Nats are back in the game.
Lesson here, folks. Never chase the money. Always listen to your heart, unless it's $400 million.
And then follow that money.
Follow that money. Let's go to number one. Let's follow number one. The Caps are back in action tomorrow night against the St. Louis Blues. My man, Rob Carlin, will have you covered with that. Bank it. $400 mil worth. Well, maybe not that much, but you get it. In the meantime, Alex Ovechkin leads the league in goals, but Rob, he's decided to skip the All-Star game for rest. Of course, some dumb Pens fan had to do this and tweet recklessness. Alex Ovechkin put Sidney Crosby in an even brighter light. Sid wouldn't miss the All-Star game because it's good for the game. Alex, surprise, the NHL is powerless in situation. P.S. I'm a dumb Pens fan. Your thoughts?
Well,
on that tweet,
that guy's an idiot. Sid's missed All-Star games before.
Yeah, I mean,
you know why Sid's missed
All-Star games?
You know why Sid's missed All-Star games? He's got bigger goals.
Good point.
He's got, I tweeted out today that Ovi's had his hands full.
I like it.
He had his hands full up above his head with the Stanley Cup above his head.
Yeah!
And what he wants to do is do that again.
You're damn right.
I think it's great that he was voted in as a captain, especially when you look at all the other captains, Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews. These are young guys, new wave of superstars in this league. And then there's Ovi.
Yeah.
He was the guy that was just unbelievable at 33 years old leading the league, and he deserved to be a captain. But he deserves this time off, too. I want him focused on April, May, and June.
Yeah.
It would have been great for him to represent the Caps. He's put on shows worth a lifetime at the All-Star game. We've seen the videos of him and Sidney Crosby when they were the faces of the league, putting on a show, carrying the league on their back forever. Now his legacy is on the line.
Yeah.
And it doesn't include an All-Star game, and he's perfectly willing to take his one-game suspension and miss a game on either side of that All-Star break because it's not about December 31st. It's not about Thursday night game in January. It's not about the All-Star game. It's about having your hands full in early June with that cup above your head. I roll with Ovi, whatever he wants to do.
Amen. Listen, when you're as big and as physical and as strong and as fast as Ovi and you have the mileage that he has on that body, take the All-Star game off. I wouldn't give a damn if he doesn't play an All-Star game for the rest of his career. Take it off if your body needs it. He's clearly listening to it. And listen, Sidney Crosby doesn't have those attributes I just named. He's a finesse player, and he doesn't like getting hit. So guess what? That's why he plays an All-Star game. Ovi is a real man. He's out there physical, knocking into people, knocking people out, and scoring goals. I don't want to hear it from you Penguins fans. Woo. I feel better now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Feel good?
I mean, I could keep going, but we're out of time. Extra point presented by Comcast Business. Rob, what do we got, brother?
So we're staying in hockey here. Apparently, there's a thing going on in Vegas where, like, you know how people have named their dogs after their favorite athletes?
Yeah.
Now in Vegas, they're apparently naming their babies after Ryan Reeves, of all people, like a fourth-line tough guy who's a marginal player. Good marginal player in the NHL. There's at least one young couple that is going to name their baby Reeves after Ryan Reeves, and apparently he said there's others that have reached out to him now. He said it's going to be a whole army of Revos out there. So it got us thinking, if you could name your kid after one athlete throughout your lifetime, who would you name your kid after?
First of all, after what he did to Tom Wilson, I don't even want those kids. Let's just say that. Other than that, look, I'm not going to name my kids after any athlete. However, I have and will continue to name my children after positions, quarterback names, right? My first son, my firstborn, his name's Colt. Continuous children will be Cam, Gunner, Cannon, things of this nature.
So you named your kid after Colt McCoy?
No. You're not listening. I'm not naming my children. I'm going to break it down. I'm not naming my children after specific athletes.
Mm-hmm.
It is the position in which they will play sports, quarterback. So you give them quarterback name.
So you named your kid. You named your kid so he could be a high school quarterback in Texas.
Okay, not necessarily.
Okay,
it could be anywhere on the map.
Makes no sense.
Now there are quarterbacks named Colt in Texas. True, but I think it's more badass to be a Colt quarterback in D.C. Think about it. He's unique, right? So back to my point. Names like Cam, Gunner, Cannon is a great name. Carson, Shane, like Shane Falco. Why are you looking like that, man?
Wait, so the one athlete you will name after Shane Falco?
That's a fake.
A made-up athlete
from a
terrible movie?
That's made up. That doesn't count. You can take the name because it's made up. But you can't take like a real quarterback's name. I can't be like Peyton. People are like, oh, it's Peyton Manning.
But Colt is okay. Even though there's a Colt in this town currently.
Colt is more of a quarterback name.
This is a flawed
argument. No, it's not.
It's a flawed argument.
Colt is a more quarterback-driven name than Peyton.
But the point of the whole thing was you're supposed to pick a name of an athlete. That was the whole point of this.
All right, well, I guess Colt McCoy.